Welcome to the show, everyone. It's Adam Cast IRL. Here we are. New week. It's Monday, and it is a big week. The inauguration week. It's going to be an interesting day, right? There's still an interesting week. Lots of people still believe that things are going to go down. I mean, the DC is practically occupied. And so with all that going down, I mean, it's really just what's going to happen. We don't know. We're just playing the waiting game, and we're actually going to discuss a little bit later. But with me today, we're going to be talking about the Donald.win. Now, if you don't know the Donald.win, it is pro-Trump website. Obviously, it's called the Donald for a reason. .win because Donald Trump definitely wins. Well, actually, I am curious about why it is that Donald.win. But we have with us Jody Williams. Welcome, Jody. You helped create the Donald.win, correct?
That's correct. I'm responsible for the branding and the ownership of the domain.
Nice, nice. So before we get into all of it, .win, was that just an easy choice?
Well, you know, we registered probably, I don't know, 50 to 100 different domains and different the Donalds. And we had somebody at one point offer the Donald.com to us, but okay, we lost contact of that person. And you know, I was just browsing through one night, and .win was available, so I grabbed it. And you know, months later, when we decided to go live, that was the one we went with.
Well, I like it. I think it's perfect. All right, so let's talk about the creation of the Donald, right? Because it originated in Reddit, correct?
That's correct.
So when did the Donald start? And did you didn't start the Donald, right? It was already a part of it.
Yeah, I am a cruise guy, or was a cruise guy. And
what does that mean? A cruise guy?
I was all behind Ted Cruz up until he dropped out of the election. So
okay,
I didn't even join the Donald until August of 2016, and then I didn't join the moderator team until late April of 2017.
Okay. So you've been a part of it for a long while, though.
That's correct. I took two different sabbaticals, both of them health-related. I'm an amputee, disabled vet, so I end up getting, you know, sidetracked for medical issues here and there. So I took two sabbaticals. I think one was 3 months and one was 1 month.
Okay.
So, but for the most part, I was there for about 3.5 years, maybe 3 years and 8 months, I guess.
Okay. So first off, what is the Donald for those who don't know? What do you say to people? Like, what is the Donald subreddit/website? Because at the moment, I feel it's still the same. It's all this world that you guys have created.
Yeah, it is and always has been a 24-hour Trump rally, and that's the way we saw it on Reddit. That's the way we see it, or they see it now. I'm no longer a part of the team, but that's the way it's seen. And always will be seen. They don't really and never have really allowed much in the way of dissenting opinions. But, you know, there's so many sites and forums and subreddits out there that allow those sorts of things. There's so many that you would never think were dedicated to just hating Donald Trump. But if you go to, for instance, like the Philadelphia Eagles subreddit, I mean, they'll bash them on football subreddit. So that was kind of the idea, was to have a center that was just focused on positive things to say about Donald Trump.
Awesome. So what caused the need for a website? You know, you helped create the domain Donald.win, but what happened on Reddit? Like, what was that whole thing that went down?
So, some people might not remember, there was an issue where the Oregon governor was trying to get some stuff passed, and you know, the minority in their house, their legislature, was Republicans, and they had no way to stop it. So what they did was they kind of disappeared, so there could be formed a quorum, so they couldn't vote on anything. And when they went into hiding, the governor used state police to go out and track these people down. And some of our members posted some things that were rather, you know, some of it was incendiary, some of it wasn't. And a lot of it was just not from our users at all. It was from people who hadn't posted to the Donald before and just came in and said some awful things like, you know, hey, we need to get over there and, you know, prevent these police from doing their jobs, except in much more violent terms.
Right.
So when that happened, Reddit used that as an excuse. Now, they had always been looking for an excuse. That was their excuse to quarantine us. They said, you know, we were inciting violence against police officers, which, you know, I don't know if you've used our site much or even the subreddit. They very, very pro law enforcement.
Pro law enforcement. Has been. Yeah. Thin blue line. Yeah.
So the quarantine happened, and, you know, I had already told people in 2017, based on how close the election had been and how media and websites had behaved towards censorship and boosting the Democratic platform, that come 2020, they were going to pull out all stops and we weren't going to be online anymore, at least not on Reddit. So,
yeah,
you know, as the quarantine started, it started with, hey, guys, this is Reddit telling us, you know, you've got 30 days is the initial period of the quarantine, and we've got these metrics we want you to meet. These are the things. It was very, I say metrics, it was more nebulous than that, you know, and you need to cut down on the violence, cut down on this. And they said, after those 30 days, you can submit an appeal to us. And if the appeal gets denied, it goes, the next time you can do it is 60 days after that. And every time it gets denied, it doubles. And, you know, we just sat there and did the math and said, wow, they have to just deny us 3 or 4 times. And, you know, we're not going to be online for the election. And even right. if we were online, we were going to be quarantined, where we couldn't really get our message out very easily. So almost immediately after the quarantine began, a portion of us began talking about how are we going to handle this. You know, we formed about it started as just 5 of us in a little private group saying, hey, you know, we've got to get out of here. How are we going to do it? We expanded to 10, and then we started brainstorming, coming up with ideas, buying domains, writing rules, which I wrote the rules that are currently on the website, except for one of them has been edited and one of my rules has been removed. But
which one was removed?
I think it was just the very last one. I just said, be respectful. It was like a general catch-all, just in case, you know, you always need one of those catch-alls, especially when people start getting kind of heated over politics. We started working on that. We initially were going to have multiple members of the team work on the site, and we had a fallback already that had been developed by one of the members, but we kind of abandoned all that. And right now, one of the guys that's top moderators over there is the person who programmed the entire site pretty much by himself. And we worked towards that. A few of the moderators who weren't on board, especially we had 3 top moderators who thought it was very important for us to do everything we could to stay on Reddit. So they were removed. They were taken out.
By Reddit?
No, by our top moderators. You could say it was a coup. You know, although they weren't in charge, so it was really not a coup. You know, they were below the top moderator. They were removed, and
They wanted to fight to keep the Donald on Reddit. Is that why?
You say fight. The truth is that.
Okay. You know, well, you know what I mean.
They were. They thought it was very important to be able to have our voice heard on a very popular site.
Yeah.
And they thought Reddit was going to be that site. And they thought it'd be very hard to get that kind of audience on our own. So, you know, right or wrong, they believed that it was in our best interest, especially with the election coming up so soon, to more or less meet most of Reddit's demands. Whereas that group of 10 people thought that was absolutely just an untenable situation, because, you know, every time we did submit appeals, 3 different times, maybe 4, and every single time. So the first time One of those top moderators who ended up getting removed eventually wrote a very eloquent appeal. He put a lot of time and effort into it. It was 30, 40 pages. It was very detailed. These are the things we've done. These are the people we've gotten rid of. These are the type of posts we're looking for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, keep in mind, Reddit didn't give us a format for this appeal. We just had to kind of make it up. And he did an excellent job. There's no other way to put it. He really laid out very well what we have been doing. And Reddit just shot back and changed what they were looking for. Well, now we want you to do this. And that's exactly how the next three appeals happened, was the same thing. I say three. I think it was two, because I believe the third one, we just said, we're not submitting one because we're leaving. We've got
right.
You know, we had the Donald.win by that point in a prototype kind of state where people were able to use it that were invited. Mm-hmm. And, we kept it secret because we believed the moment Reddit knew about it, they might just ban us, so we couldn't tell other people, hey, we're moving.
Now, they didn't ban you right away, though, right? You guys were on Reddit for 3 or 4 months after the Donald.win was created, right?
More than that, actually. We really? Were on. So we've been, or the Donald.win has been online now for about 450 days, almost something like that. So a year and 2-3 months, something like that. And from that time, so I think it went live in October, September of 2019. From that time, it didn't come down until August or September of 2020. Just like I said it would, right before the election. They waited till the last minute, and then they didn't just ban the Donald. They banned a lot of conservative subreddits.
So
a lot of people got lumped in on that, and it wasn't just them. Twitter went out and banned some people the same day. Discord closed down some channels and servers. YouTube shut down some channels. It's always been pretty coordinated. It's been pretty obvious that it's coordinated.
Yeah, it does feel like a pretty blanket banning across the board as far as just conservatives in general. It seems like they're just trying to wipe any conservative message from being broadcast. You know, they want their message, and they want to get rid of anyone that talks about and discusses other ideas that aren't theirs. I'm surprised the Donald went on as long as it did on Reddit. Now, your Discord actually just got nuked as well, didn't it?
Correct. I was actually in charge of the Discord server for a good bit of the last year.
Wow.
And we followed their rules pretty strictly. We even had an announcement that said, these are Discord's rules. You're going to follow them or you're going to get removed. And at one point, Discord had sent us a warning after a Mother Jones article. So Mother Jones put out this article and said, hey, look at all this horrible. So, sorry, I need to backtrack just a second. So we had two different tiers of chat. We had open chat, like a lot of Discord servers had.
Right.
And then we had what we called vetted chat. And our open chat, literally anybody could get in and start saying things in. And Mother Jones ran an article one day about these horrible things that were said in open chat. And I went and looked at these things, and they were from a person who literally joined, spouted some really awful things that we caught. And a lot of it was caught by the auto moderator. So they were removed within 1-2 seconds, just like that. And somehow they still got screenshots of these things as if, this was the normal conversation. Now, I can't say that it was that
them,
that reporter who did it.
Well, hey, wait, let me make a suggestion. It sounds an awful lot like it's the reporter who reported on it.
It definitely seemed like it. And I wrote them. I wrote them on their website. I said, hey, these were things that were literally in the channel for less than a minute. These were things from a unvetted user, and they never responded. I had written them, in their comment section on their website, and then also on their Twitter. And they don't give a damn. They got their message out, which is that we were awful people. But if you came in there and you really were participated, I'm not saying that everything was clean all the time, but we did have a very dedicated moderation team that worked very hard to clean things up. And they did a good job. And the people that were there at the very end were still working very hard.
Well, I enjoyed the. I was in the Donald Discord, and I miss a lot of the emotes that I was. I used a lot of them constantly in my Discord. But let's backtrack a little bit. We kind of jumped ahead to because the Discord just got nuked recently. Granted, it goes hand in hand with all this. You said in 2017 that by 2020 we're going to be off, and man, is that dead on. So you said some of the mod team was worried that you weren't going to get as much traffic because Reddit was so big, and you know it was good to have a good traffic there. So how did it go when you guys launched the Donald? Did you guys have crazy traffic? I mean, there's a lot. How many members are currently in the Donald.win?
I couldn't give you an exact number, but of actual registered accounts, it's probably going to be in the 400,000 to 500,000 registered accounts. The number of unique visitors every day, depending on the day, depending on, you know, the news cycle, et cetera, could be anywhere from 1 to 2, 3, 4 million unique visitors. Wow. So the traffic is pretty crazy.
So I don't know how that compares to Reddit. Obviously Reddit's been around longer and it's a huge site. But that sounds pretty good. Sounds like it's good traffic.
Yeah, we had, you know, on Reddit, we had to go by the numbers they gave us, basically. And when we compared those with our own, we definitely had exceeded them numerous times, especially as the election approached and afterwards. The numbers were really good.
So you guys separated from Reddit. You're doing your own thing. You basically got screwed over by bad actors. And it sounds like that's what happened to your Discord also. I mean, Agent Provocateur is just like, just such a, you know, from the old book of ways to hurt your enemies. And it's just, it seems almost too easy for the internet for someone to do that. You know, actually someone joined my Discord and tried to nuke it also by spamming a bunch of terrible things in my general chat. I actually have it set up also where, you know, there's a higher tier and there's an open general, but I have a good mod team who kind of caught it right away and got rid of the person. I don't think they were doing an expose on my small channel. I only had a couple hundred people in there, maybe almost 1,000 people actually at the time. But it's like, I mean, I know the Donald Discord was massive. You know, they're not going to do a news article about my tiny little Discord, but there's people that do that. And it seems awfully too easy to do it. And that's what Reddit did. That's what people are saying. What happened at the Capitol last week? I don't know. What do you think happened with the Capitol last week? Do you think it was Antifa, Black Lives Matter trying to sabotage everything?
So we had a really good moderator who did a good job.
Okay.
That went out and scouted for these things. If you look back in the Charlottesville days, which you know I think is 2018, so it's a little ways back.
Yeah.
It was easy to spot the plants back then. They'd show up with brand new MAGA hats that had all the creases still in them. Some of them with the tags. Their flags had all the folds. And, you know, if you were close enough, you probably got that new flag smell. Yeah. It was very obvious back then. But we had a moderator just recently before January 6th who had infiltrated some of their chats, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, other radical left-wing groups.
Interesting.
And they were discussing very openly, you know, this is what we need to do to blend in. So we knew that was coming. It was very obvious. And if you visited the site during that time, you saw posts over and over again. Donald Trump is asking us, President Trump is saying peaceful protest, have our voices heard.
Yep.
Do not get caught up with these people because they are not with us. And even the day of, so Donald Trump gives his speech on one side of downtown DC, and then the Capitol's kind of a little further away. And he ends his speech telling everybody, we're going to go down there and peacefully protest and have our voices heard.
Yep.
And within seconds of him starting, you know, of that crowd turning and walking, which the crowd was there to see Trump. Let's be clear. These people crossed continents. Some people came from out of the country. They came to see Trump. So the people that were there that were Trump fans were in the Trump crowd, period. So the people, yeah, and you were probably there watching Trump speak, weren't you?
I waited until he finished. Yep.
You weren't, and it was a bit of a walk to the Capitol, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was. It's not right there. You know, it's a good, if I had to guess, maybe a mile and a half. I don't know. It's not next door neighbor. It's a hike to walk over there, and everyone was walking around.
Absolutely. But if you watch the videos, he stopped speaking, and within minutes or even seconds, you've got people belligerent in front of the Capitol, yelling at the officers, throwing things, grabbing barricades, they're wrestling with them. And these are the people you see very regular in the pictures of these arrests. And sure enough, what have we seen? We've seen quite a few Antifa members arrested. That's not disputable. You know,
well, it's actually interesting because Trump didn't even finish talking. I believe he finished talking around 12:50. If I 1 o'clock, if I remember correctly, I wasn't watching my time when I was there, but he finished talking, and then I'm now finding out that it was a half an hour before, so it was like 12:30 when the first clash happened at the Capitol building, and as you said, people came from across the country, people came from different continents to hear him speak. They came to hear him speak. Mm-hmm. They were there to listen to that man. So they were listening to him. And then when he finished, they were like, all right, now that that's done, what should we do? Let's go to the Capitol and peacefully protest like he suggested, because he suggested peacefully protesting. Well, the people that were over there, they clearly didn't care about what Trump had to say, because if you actually liked Trump, you went for his rally and then to back him up outside the Capitol building, you know?
That's absolutely right. You know, I was at Rushmore on July 3rd, and there were tens of thousands of people that drove from all over the country to go see that event.
Yeah.
And even the day of, so you had to register and win tickets in a lottery. They were free, but you had to register and win the tickets. And we got tickets, my wife, my kids, and we were in the bowl. We were part of those 1,000 people.
Cool.
But even the day of, we're driving up, and people are offering thousands of dollars so that they could get in and see this event. They were there to see Trump.
Wow.
You know, they weren't there to see the fireworks. Yeah. You could see the fireworks better from further away, is the truth.
Yeah, true.
You know, we were looking up. It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was a once in a lifetime event. I'm so glad I was there. But we were there to see Trump, as was everybody in that crowd. It was a great crowd. You know, people waited 9-10 hours sitting in the sun. It was 100 degrees in South Dakota that day with no wind. It was awful, but it was worth every bit of it. And that's what Trump supporters do, though. And that's what they did, I have no doubt, on January 6th, that they went there and they waited patiently for him to speak. And many of them that weren't close enough to hear every single word were happy enough to see him.
Yeah.
Nobody, none of those people gave a damn about going and yelling at some Capitol police officer who has nothing to do with the politics of DC.
Right.
No.
Bad actors, man. You know, that's what ruined it for, it's almost like Reddit was waiting for that, you know, because I mean, they have, obviously they have access to the information of this person just joined, said a bunch of stuff. They could see that they just joined. They could see that they're not a regular, messenger, someone who's constantly posting over a long period of time. You know, if they just join and drop some crazy stuff, they're like, oh, crazy stuff, ban the Donald. You know, it's like, come on, really?
They would have to care, though. And
good point.
The fact is, I mean, there's no doubt Spez himself did admit to it. He went in and edited other users' posts on the Donald.
Who's
changed what they said. Spez is the CEO, I believe, of Reddit right now.
Oh, you know, wow.
People were calling him out, and I guess he's got thin skin and doesn't, you know, hasn't learned how to ignore people on the internet, which is crazy considering his job.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he went in and edited users' comments.
Wow.
And
people that were being critical of him?
Oh, yeah. Reddit? They caught him. One of the people they edited was my brother, in fact.
Wow.
Who he said, are you kidding me? I had he hadn't refreshed the screen from when he had put in the comment. So when he, you know, when he reloaded it on another device, on his phone or whatever he did, he pulls it up and goes, "This isn't what I said."
You know, yeah,
this is just not what I said. And he goes back to his computer and compared them, and sure enough, they weren't. And he was caught red-handed. He admitted to it, and you know, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, but he didn't give a damn. And yeah. Nobody in the media, you know, he immediately, I think the very next day, he had articles lined up on Mother Jones, actually, on BuzzFeed and several other places, talking about how, you know, he's harassed, and poor him and the job he's trying to do to fight hate on Reddit.
Yeah, it sounds like that's the Mother Jones, Huffington Post, all these, I mean, Washington Post is also another example of these, this like just propaganda media, really, is what it feels like. They just use it and, well, it's mainstream, so it's got to be true, right? So, I mean, because they look, it's on a legitimate site, which is total BS.
Legitimate.
Right. Thank you for that. Someone had to say it. Yeah. In quotes, legitimate site, you know, but that's how they treat it, though. You know, it's like, hey, oh, well, Washington Post said it. Democracy dies in darkness. Yeah, when you turn the lights off.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between Washington Post 1974, 1973, right, and Washington Post owned by Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. You know, after what? When did he buy it? In like 2011 or something, or
something like that. I mean, this is just
early 2000s.
That's like comparing New York Times in the 1920s to New York Times after it was bought out by that Mexican billionaire for a while. You know, it changed it, and it's going to. I mean, if I bought something and they weren't saying something I like, you know, a newspaper, etc., I'd make them change things. Maybe I would be a little bit more ethical about it than Jeff Bezos, but yeah. It's Carlos Slim, that's who bought the New York Times for a while. I don't think he's got it anymore. But yeah, you know,
well, they're certainly biased though on the left, though. Yep. The New York Times.
Yep.
And honestly, most media is. Who am I kidding? Like, they've taken over everything.
Yep.
It's all taken over.
It is, and the getting the word out, any kind of dissenting word is very hard. You might have had Fox News there for a while, but even that was two or three talk, you know, more talk show type hosts than actual news in the evening. The news bent was always left. I mean, Shepard Smith was just as left as anybody on CNN or MSNBC. It's been like that for a lot longer. Some people think that's an immediate that's happened in the recent past. It's not. Walter Cronkite, as much as people liked him, admitted he was extremely left wing. Said he presented the news in that kind of a tone, and it's always been like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even I say I'm biased. Everyone's biased. You
absolutely
know, it's when you at least admit you're biased. When they deny that they're biased, which they very much clearly are, you know, you have to at least be honest about it. Like, I'm biased. I wanted Trump to win. I voted for him myself. I shine a positive light on him. All the negative light, it's all been debunked to me. So it's kind of silly that people can't stand him anymore. But I do go ahead.
I was saying the only difference between CNN, MSNBC, and ABC News, NBC News, et cetera, and the Donald is that the Donald says we're for the Donald.
Yeah.
They all might as well be called the Democrats.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's no different. You know, they pound the same message, a mirror of the same message we do.
Yeah.
And it's in there day in, day out. You know, even my in-laws, you know, my in-laws are just older folks. They just watch what's presented to them on TV.
CNN.
And if you tell them, hey, you know, there were Antifa people arrested at those things that happened on January 6th at the insurrection. Oh, no. That was all Donald Trump people.
That's fake news.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you got no idea. You're just trying to cover for Donald Trump. No, I'm not. You're only listening to one side of the story.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. If you go to a newsstand and every single magazine, every single newspaper you pick up is from the same angle, you know, how can you tell what the full picture is? It's like trying to look at a 3D image in a 2D perspective.
Yeah, good point. So we talked about the sixth. Now that's kind of what started us chatting. We've been in communication for a few months, but what happened at the Capitol, you know, we got the FBI that's now looking into a bunch of people that were in the Capitol, what spawned it. They're trying to put it on Trump, which is ridiculous because he's only ever said peacefully protest. Mm-hmm. He never actually called for inciting any violence, which is, so it's kind of like another one of those fake news. But tell me what's going on with the Donald, because, you know, they're looking into people in the Donald that are maybe possibly inciting violence. What's going on with that?
So I can't go into detail, obviously, very much, but yes, absolutely. The FBI has sent requests. They've sent preservation orders. I wouldn't be shocked to see subpoenas at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're definitely out there, and they're looking at the content, and people need to understand that. You might say to yourselves, well, you know, there's only so many people at the FBI and they've got so much stuff to do, but there are hundreds of thousands of liberal activists that would absolutely love to see any one of you on the right be arrested. So they look over it, they pore over it, and if they see something that even has a tinge of illegality, they're going to push it. They're going to push it, and they're going to push it. And it might not gain any traction, but it starts, you know, you can only ignore somebody yelling in your ear for so long before you go, hey, you know, maybe I need to go over there and take a look at what they're saying. And I can tell you that in some of these cases, that's exactly what's going on, because, you know, obviously the Donald has never allowed calls to violence. It's strictly against the rules. Anything illegal is doxing as well. But people do say things that are, you know, slicing a very thin hair between right and wrong, and the Donald has always favored free speech. If we can say that for sure, this is not a direct threat. You know, for instance, hey, you know, these Antifa people are bastards. We want to go beat them up. Antifa, according to them, is an idea, not a group. You're not threatening.
Well, they've changed that now. Ted Wheeler came out finally saying, they're actually pretty bad. We should probably do something about it. It's like now. Absolutely. Now, Wheeler, 6 months too late, man.
Yep. But I use them as an example. Gosh. If somebody would say something like that against Antifa, it's general, it's nebulous, it's not directed towards any specific individual. So for the most part, they were left alone. You know, that those comments for the most part were left alone. But if they said, I want to go beat up members of Congress, it didn't have to be somebody specific. That's a finite definite group of people, and that was what we consider illegal, and that's what we took down.
See, this is where it reminds me of the hypocrisy that we see from the left to the right. Now, you know, people on you know, the Donald.win can't talk about that kind of stuff. You know, inciting violence is bad, right? But then we have, you know, Kathy Gifford, right? I think so. She, you know, she's holding up the bloody head of Trump.
Oh, Kathy Gifford. Yeah.
Griffin. Griffin. Yeah. Yeah. And she's, you know, people are like, good job. That's such a bold stance. But someone posted a picture of that edited and it's Biden there and they got banned. And it's like, what's the difference? Madonna said something about blowing up the White House, you know, and then Johnny Depp said, you know, when's the last time a celebrity killed a president? It's like, are you referencing Abraham Lincoln getting assassinated? Because. Yep. John Wilkes was an actor, wasn't he? It's like, dude, what? How many times can they basically incite violence in the left side of things in the open, blatantly, loud and proud? But people on the right aren't allowed to. They're like, whoa, 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 that's not okay. Like, what is the difference? Is it because they know the left isn't going to actually do something? Because, for the lack of better words, they're soy boys. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, they're not going to go out and fight. You know, they're worried the right is actually going to go out and fight because they're the ones that have most of the guns. Is that, you know, what do you think?
So it's partly that. It's also it's how it's been presented to the people who are the, you know, decision makers. If you go, I believe it's SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's one of those groups has a map where you can track crimes by white supremacists across the country year by year. Mm-hmm. And I did it myself about, I don't know, 6-7 months ago. I went to check it out. I was like, well, gosh, these are a lot of dots on the map. What is this?
Yeah.
And come to find out, if you click on them, I clicked on maybe a dozen, all of them in Texas. That's where I am. And all of them were crimes committed by supposed white supremacists, but they weren't crimes about white supremacy. They were, you know, two guys got in a fight at a bar, domestic abuse. The only one that you could even say that was close to an actual white supremacist crime was the guy neglected his own child who was of mixed race, and that child died.
But none of them were like hate crimes or anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But that's how they present it to the FBI. That's how they present it to the public, is look at all this crime going on being committed by white supremacists. Well, you know, if we did the exact same thing for Antifa and BLM, it'd be interesting to see that map.
Well, they're the ones that are fighting for segregation. This is what I don't understand. You know, like, I don't want to be segregated. Like, I want everyone to be the melting pot of what America is supposed to be. We're supposed to be this melting pot where all different cultures come and meld to become stronger together. Like, isn't that what we're supposed to be? That's what I was taught. That's what I raised up with, that kind of mentality. And, you know, I actually moved around a lot as a kid. So I moved from spot to spot and in different areas. I was on the East Coast for a while and in the Midwest for a while. And, you know, there was all different races, all different colors. And, you know, everyone, granted, I basically lived in suburb land. You know, I wasn't in cities. I was kind of grew up outside of cities, but you know, I remember everyone kind of being held to the same standard. Now we're getting to this point where Antifa and BLM are trying to really drive home the fact that race is a separating factor in, and we should all be separated by our race, which is, if I'm not mistaken, segregation. Is that right? You know, it's like they're trying to convince me. They're trying to convince me. I'm going to use just myself as an example. You know, they're trying to convince me that white people think they're superior. And I'm like, I don't know anybody that's saying that other than them. You know, they're the ones that are trying to convince me that, because I don't believe that. But it's like they want us to believe it so that their fight is justified. Do you know what I mean? That's what it feels like, because it's almost like they know it's not true, but they need to keep repeating it so that it becomes true, so that they can continue their fight for segregation.
Well, it makes it pretty clear why they would vote for anti-busing, I don't want my child growing up in a racial jungle, mm-hmm. Joe Biden.
Maybe that's why they like Joe Biden so much.
he's supported the things that they want for about 5 decades at this point, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, if you saw Richard Spencer flat out said, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. And why? Yeah, because Joe Biden is for segregation. And it will,
yeah, it's true,
it'll get to my goals much quicker than if I voted for Donald Trump. And if you went around and you looked at some of the different hate sites out there, the actual ones, I'm not going to name them. I don't want anybody coming back and saying that I'm some sort of traitor or anything. But these guys that they very regularly also voice that exact same sentiment, is that, you know, maybe we agree with a lot of Donald Trump and what he stands for, and we're pro-America, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But to accelerate things, they're accelerationists. We're going to vote for Joe Biden because we have a much better chance of getting to that inflection point with him than we ever have with Donald Trump.
That's a shame. Yeah, it's interesting. You'd think that, oh man, when Richard Spencer came out saying he was going to vote for Trump, I wasn't very political until 2020, mm-hmm. but I remember that. I remember that moment where everyone was like, see, an actual racist is voting for Trump. Like, boom, proof. And that, they ran with that story for so long. And then all of a sudden, Richard Spencer came out for Biden and they were like, we don't worry about that. Who cares what who votes for who? Like, why does that matter? Like, what? Your argument. These are your words. Again, with the hypocrisy. What's true for me rules for me, but not for thee. That could be 2020's sub theme is rules for thee, but not for me.
Well, I mean, 2020, I would say you got to go back to 2008 for that. The start
well,
of that.
I mean, it's been going on for a long time. True.
It's worse now and it's going to continue getting worse until something changes. Now, Richard Spencer in 2016 was basically a nobody. He goes out there and makes some speeches about how he's going to vote for Donald Trump because, you know, he's going to push these racist policies, according to Richard Spencer. CNN has him on. MSNBC has him on. You name it. Every channel gives him airtime. And he was on CNN more than once. The guy had quite the microphone when he's up there saying how awesome Donald Trump is because he agrees with racists. Which is what he was saying. Not that it was true. That's what he was saying.
Right.
Exactly. And he comes back and says the exact same thing except for Biden this year and nothing.
Crickets.
You don't see him at all. You saw the comment on a few places about his announcement that he was voting for Biden. That was it.
Yeah.
CNN didn't have him on the air to talk about why he loves Joe Biden and how Joe Biden's going to bring back busing, segregating schools. He just disappeared.
Yep. That's ridiculous. Yep. The hypocrisies of they're so blatant, you know, and now the banning and getting rid of all the conservative voices on social media that are trying to just have a voice in this world. They're just Xing them out. I mean, you see Project Veritas dropping stories about how Twitter is just deciding, well, you know, there may be rumors that he's inciting violence, but we all know it's true. And it's like, who's we all? And what you just said in the same sentence that they're rumors, you don't actually have proof, but you know that it does it because they just have decided on themselves. So they're just blatantly saying they're going to be banning. I mean, Jack Dorsey said we're going to continue banning too after the inauguration. It's not going to stop here. You know, this call to end the MAGA movement, the patriots. You know, I saw some people talking about how the word patriot is synonymous with a terrorist now, which is ridiculous. It's you're a terrorist if you love this country. Because that's what being a patriot is. I love America. I do. I'm making that statement. I love America, period. I love it here. We have rights here. And the Constitution was written to protect the rights, not to prove to everyone else and to the people in power what rights we have. They're saying, no, they have those rights. We're making sure that they're protected. That's why they're trying to get rid of the Constitution and get rid of anyone who's reminding everybody, hey, by the way, you have the rights. Remember that. It's in the Constitution. They're trying to take them away from you. I'm saying it without saying it. You see how I did that there?
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s when presidential elections and even local politics and such were two sides trying to outdo each other about how American they were, who loved America more. You know, even groups like the ACLU would take any case as long as it was about the Bill of Rights, you know, the Constitution. They vigorously defended those things.
Yep.
And not that they've completely abandoned it, but, you know, they believe in hate speech. They push some of that stuff these days. And we've now got we have two sides that aren't trying to argue interpretations of the Constitution so much as one is trying to argue that America is good. It was founded on some really good principles. And if we follow them and if we enforce them, and if we live up to those ideals, things will get better. Whereas the other side is arguing that foundation, the very foundation that we're on, is on a swamp. It's sinking. It was built on bodies and there's no saving it. We need to tear down and start over. That's that's what you have between the two parties now. It's, you know, you don't see them coming up and vigorously defending the First Amendment. They don't, you know, they push hate speech laws. They push hate crime laws. They go after, I mean, they very vigorously go after anybody who wants to say anything counter to the narrative they'd like to be pushed.
That's the truth, isn't it?
It's sad.
They want anyone. They want everyone just going with the flow, you know, take your emotion pills and, you know, stop thinking for yourself. You'll have nothing and you won't need anything and you will be happy. You hear that? Their new agenda for 2030, the Great Reset.
Well, look, Biden is trying his best to be father in the movie Equilibrium. And if you've never seen it, you should absolutely watch it.
I just referenced it. That's what I'm talking about, the emotion pills from Equilibrium. Yeah.
Have you taken your dose today? getting reported. Look, I mean, getting reported by your own kids is reality right now. Parents are being reported by their kids for even and being in Washington, D.C. and vice versa. You're right. For even being in D.C. on the 6th, for not social distancing. Hell, we have governors like Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo encouraging people. Encouraging people, report your parents, report your friends, report your brothers and sisters. It's disgusting.
You know what it reminds me of is those guys are terrible. I had to add that. Go ahead.
It's been in America before, and that's what a lot of people forget, is Woodrow Wilson did the exact same thing. Report anybody who disagrees with our message and what we're pushing in regards to the World War One, and they were arresting them. And they gave rewards to people who reported their neighbors. And it's sick that we didn't learn our lesson. And we're kind of right back there. Now, hopefully, we don't get to the point where we are imprisoning thousands of people for just speaking blatantly obvious First Amendment protected words. But it feels like we're getting awfully close.
Well, and history does tell us a lot, and I mean, look at what they're—I say they, but it's these leftist people with the largest voices, loudest voices, trying to erase history. You know, they're trying to show the founding fathers are terrible, and they did nothing right, amplifying all of their evils and negative sides of things, and just blasting it out. You know, you look at Abraham Lincoln, which is really odd because he's both been demonized and heroized. I don't know if that's the term, but in the past like 2 weeks, the Pacific Northwest is trying to take his name off of schools, like get rid of him because he didn't do enough for minorities. And at the same time, he's being quoted by members in Congress saying, you know, he's one of the greatest presidents ever. And, you know, he said all this, this, and this. And it turns out that actually Abraham Lincoln made a lot of power moves to win the Civil War, which actually gave the government a lot more powers than it should have, that now they've are using the things that he set in motion to take even more power away. And the states, honestly, we should be the United States. It doesn't feel like that anymore. It's now the government, the United Government of America, really, if you look at it and what's changed from the founding of America and how we were, you know, different nations together, united. The states themselves were supposed to be essentially their own nations, like the UN. You know, you drive around Europe, each different country is drastically different. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, oh, you're American. Well, I know exactly who you are. I'm like, why? You think I'm the same as, you know, someone that lives in the Pacific Northwest? You know, sorry for the people, the conservatives in the Pacific Northwest. I'm talking about the crazies in Portland or whatever, you know, the people that are blue haired and hating capitalism and trying to, you know, get everything for free. But, you know, they look at me and they're like, oh, well, you're the same. And I'm like, well, actually, you know, you live closer to Germany than I do to these people that live in Portland. So are you the same as, say, I was talking to a Frenchman and I was like, whoa, so you're the same as every other European, right? And they're like, whoa, no, I am certainly not like an Italian, which are drastically different than Germans and French and Spaniards. They're all completely different and they're really close together. Europe's kind of tiny. I've driven around Europe. It's small. Mm-hmm. Right. But they try to lump us together. And it's like, man, we are the United States for a reason. The states need to have the power again. And it feels like people have lost control or lost the history of what the states should be. These governors are going crazy with these order, these mandates over the past year. We've seen them power trip. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they're all together on this same wavelength of socialism, and which leads to communism, and we all know how that goes. They just want the power. It rules for thee, but not for me. How many examples have we seen over the past year of, Governor Cuomo, my goodness, Gretchen Whitmer, Governor Wolf, Murphy, Pritzker, man, all these, and Gavin Newsom, my goodness, he might top the list.
Republicans do at times. Terrible. Republicans have done it too.
Who? Which one?
Governor Abbott here in Texas was highly unpopular for a really? Good while when he locked down the state. Everybody was furious. I mean, we had a very minor outbreak compared to most of the country. Nothing compared to New York, especially. And
well, I'm going to use the term. I'm going to quote. I got to quote outbreak, because I've done so many numbers and so much research and cross comparing different diseases of normal deaths of a regular year. I say regular year, the average over the past 10 years, which there wasn't a raging pandemic. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And this, I can't say this year anymore. It's 2021. But in 2020, the death numbers of almost every other disease dropped. Mm-hmm. Because the people were still dying in the same numbers of those diseases. They just switched it and just chose COVID numbers. When in reality, it was an average year for deaths. There wasn't any spike. So Andrew Cuomo's mountain was something he created by sending people into nursing homes and causing a huge, massive spike of deaths because a bunch of old people that were vulnerable got sick and died. Blood is on his hands. Sorry.
When he had a massive federally provided hospital ship with, I believe, 5,000 beds sitting there, that when they did get patients, they did get a few, not many. Yep. He actually had those moved out into these senior living facilities.
It's not just that ship. He had that ship and an entire hospital built in a convention center. So he had two spots. That ship was actually just for regular patients, people that didn't have COVID, to go there and get, just in case the hospital got overwhelmed. Well, they never actually used it. So
for anything.
Yep. But then they claimed that they were overwhelmed and this and that, and all these deaths were happening. And it's just like, gosh.
So I actually got quarantined back in May as part of all this. Yeah. I had an upper respiratory infection. It turned out to be, they didn't test for it. They wouldn't tell me what it was, but they said I tested negative for coronavirus. And it was shortly after everything here in Texas had been shut down. And we were told all these hospitals are overflowing. So they took me to University Hospital here in San Antonio, which was at the time, I don't know if it still is, it was the center for coronavirus in San Antonio. They took me down there. They put me in a quarantine ward, and people are walking in and out, just like you see in the movie Outbreak, for the most part, you know, head to toe covered and taking all these precautions. You know, they even had it's sad. They acted like it was an airlocked room, but it wasn't, you know, air flowed in and out of it, just like any other room, but they treated it like an airlocked room to prepare as they went in and out.
Yeah.
And everything is supposedly awful. The world's falling apart. San Antonio is in this crisis mode. And when they got my test back negative, so I don't know yet. I'm sitting down there and the nurse is in taking my vitals for the day. A doctor burst in through the big wide door that they pushed, you know, the gurneys through and such. And she yells, "You're negative." And she's just completely uncovered head to toe. I thought we were on the whole ward. So the few days before that, when I had been pushed around outside of that room, the few days before that for chest x-rays or things like that, everybody on the ward, they had walkie-talkies. They're calling people, "Hey, we're bringing the patient out. Everybody, you know, get out of the hallways." You know, they weren't even telling them to get dressed in proper ways. They were telling everybody, "Get out of the frickin' hallways, disappear." And I never saw anybody else except the janitor who literally followed right behind me as I went anywhere and cleaned up. But after this lady came in and said, you know, this doctor says you're clear. They yeah. pushed me out of there. I was still in bad shape. My oxygen levels were really bad, like low 80s. Okay. So they weren't going to let me out yet, but they pushed me out of this room. Nobody on the entire ward is wearing PPE. It went from we have to lock this whole place down to we don't have to care anymore, because I was the only person in there. That was it.
What month was this?
This was in, I believe, early May.
Early May, okay. Yeah. When it was raging.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Quote,
unquote. Utter joke, yeah. We locked San Antonio down so I could take up an entire hospital ward by myself.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
And then you turned it negative. Also.
And then I was negative. Yep. Yep. But you know what? I never got a bill for it because it was suspected COVID, so the government paid for it.
Interesting.
Yep.
And they probably, I don't know, they probably added you to some statistic or didn't add you, rather, because that would have skewed it in the other direction. Like, well, he didn't have anything, so we don't have to report it, right?
Well, like so my family is from New Braunfels, not far from here. And the first case they got there, they made a huge deal about it. The first death, sorry. Huge deal about it. The news is on it. The television station came out and they did this big report.
Yeah.
And come to find out a few days later, the daughter comes out of the guy that died. He was fairly young, I think his late 30s. And come to find out, she said, my dad had been getting sick for months. He started having these seizures. He was having lots of health issues. They never even tested him for coronavirus.
Yeah.
He died. They made this big announcement. He was on the front page of the news, the whole story. There in New Braunfels, and it was all fake, but you never saw anybody go back and correct it. You know, she went online and screamed bloody murder, but you know, she's one person.
So I got to ask you, you said something that I didn't want to let go. We mm-hmm. don't have that much time before we're going to get into some super chats. I just want you said, what did you say? You said basically that you no longer are part of the Donald. Is that, that's did correct. I catch that?
Well, so
what happened there?
I own the domain.
You still own the domain.
And I still point it towards them. And as long as they can not get kicked offline by someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
That domain will always be pointed there.
When did that end? When did you stop being a part of it?
So the Wall Street Journal, sorry, was going around looking, you know, fishing up a story. And okay. I got word about it from some of the guys they were talking to. They said, hey, they're looking for you, and they intend to write an article tying you to inciting January 6th and so providing a platform for racists, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not me, obviously. I went to some of the guys that were in charge of the actual moderation team. I said, hey, this is going around, and, you know, they're going to put some of this in the Wall Street Journal, pretty big newspaper, right? You know, I said – they want to speak with me, but as long as they don't leave my name, that they mention my name, I could care less what they have to say. You know, a lot of conservatives are generally untrusting of the media anyhow, so who cares? Right. But I told them, I said, look, if they mention my name, I got a wife, I got three kids. My wife is a school teacher. I can't have them, you know, going out spreading some message that I'm inciting riots or that I'm providing a platform for white supremacists. I said, you know, I want to talk with them in that case to, you know, not just have myself heard and defend myself, but to defend the community as well, which I vigorously did. I mean, the interview was 2 hours long. Sadly, you know, you only get like three or four little blurbs out of it, which is, you know, typical. But, you know, the other moderators still didn't want me to talk, which is why I left, because, you know, I knew I was going to violate that rule. And, I felt like I had to. So, you know, I said my piece. I disagreed with them because, you know, I felt like, some of the things that, not that they weren't moderating the site correctly, but we had providers that we answered to as well. You know, Epic, Cloudflare. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name all of them because I don't want to create targets out of them. Okay. But they made requests to us, you know. They made very reasonable requests quite often, especially Epic. Epic's CEO and their guy in charge of public communication are wonderful people. They're talking about guys that would call me at all hours of the night to say, hey, something wrong is going on, and we want to try to get you on top of it before it becomes news. Yeah, these were wonderful, wonderful people, and they made
You know, that's what they did with Julian Assange, though, man. He was trying to get on top of things before it got out, and he wasn't even the one that was pushing out the information.
Yep,
he just wanted to help curb the damage, you know, that was going to happen regardless, you know. Yep. So
these guys were making very reasonable requests, though. Maybe not things that we were really accustomed to, like, hey, can you kind of put some sort of notice out there to in fact, our top sticky was a note about protests, and I believe it's still there to this very day, and it says, you know, we don't incite violence, we don't allow it, we don't allow anything illegal, no doxing, and don't go be a part of these protests because we don't believe they're organized by people on our side. And you know, like I said, they wanted to make that message a little bit more clearer to people. And I thought their requests were perfectly reasonable. I forwarded that on to the other moderators. And most of the moderation team are wonderful people that work tirelessly. They work on a completely volunteer basis. They take all sorts of slings and arrows. They get called cucks, commies, traitors, plants, you name it. I mean, you can see some of the stuff in the chat. These, even people supposedly on our side, are absolutely awful to some of the moderators, even though they're just doing their jobs. And most of them were, and most of them followed our rules to the letter. The people in charge, they've done a better job of it recently. But there were times when they allowed some things to go on that were pushing the boundaries. And like I said, Epic wanted us to make some changes so they could defend us. So, you know, we paid Epic, I think, $50 or so, almost nothing to register the domain. I paid for it.
Right.
It was nothing, you know. They have spent tens of thousands of dollars defending us. Tens of thousands going out there and fighting people like the Wall Street Journal. You know, in fact, this article out there, some people said that Epic was throwing us under the bus. When that article came out, the very first thing I got on my cell phone when it went public, I turned my cell phone off so it wouldn't buzz everybody, but I was going to show y'all, was Robert Davis messaging me.
Who's Robert Davis?
He's the guy from Epic, the guy in charge of communication, saying it's bullshit. I never even used the word fomenting. I've never used it in my life.
He just took what
I said. Yeah. Well, no, not me. Robert. He said, you know, this is bullshit. This isn't what I said.
Mm-hmm.
They mischaracterized me, and they're throwing me and they're throwing the Donald under the bus.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that same author used everything I said exactly, but he did a much better job with me than he did with Robert. You know, I was trying to get across the point that it was a crazy year from January onward.
Yeah,
and some of the things that went on were inevitable, whether it was on the Donald, on 4chan, on Reddit, or anywhere else. Some of that was inevitable. People were pissed off, and for very good reason. And I made sure that, you know, he and I argued about it. I said, you know, we need to speak for these people that are pissed off, because they're not pissed off for no reason. And if the media keeps ignoring them, it's inevitable that they're going to keep getting more and more pissed off. So
Do you think it made a difference? Do you think if you would have gone and done, like, did that Wall Street Journal article, did it even make a difference in how the left is going to treat the Donald.win?
I don't know if it would have made it. Obviously, no. Okay, so let me be clear. The left is going to continue going after the Donald and anybody like them, including you, until you're offline.
I'm sure the left doesn't like my channel. I mean, I talk about all the things that they don't like. I'm not going to stop talking about the stuff that I'm talking about. You know, it's just, it's interesting because, you know, Actually, I have a few questions and I'm thinking about a few things, and I've seen a lot of super chats that have come up. We got to get into super chats.
Yeah.
And so there's a few questions that I see. First, I got a couple questions from my locals, my community on there. Aaron Morgan says, I would like to know why they have not made the site an app and how soon till they think that hosting the Donald will be taken down.
First of all, no app will ever be approved for the Apple Store.
True that.
We're not dumb enough to believe that. It's possible that it could get on one of the alternative Google or Chrome stores, but it's never going to be on any mainstream
right
store.
On, right,
I mean,
on.
Look, they took Parler down.
Well, it's back. It's working. It's working its way back.
Did they put the app back up?
No, they won't do that.
Yeah, no, Parler. As good as they are, they're milk toast compared to the Donald. If they're not going to allow Parler up, the Donald's got no shot in hell.
Yeah, that's true. Also, YouTube, sorry for all the swears.
Sorry. Apologies.
That's okay. And how long do you think the hosting, you think the Donald will get cut off? You know, because they cut Parler off, Amazon did, you know, so like, I know you pay for the hosting site, but who's to say it doesn't get just cut out from under you?
So crazy enough, we'd actually thought about going to Amazon. So I'm glad we didn't.
Good thing you didn't.
We always believed if we did, they would just cut us off.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe up to that point they ever had. I believe Parler's the first people they've ever cut like that.
The
discussion was, can we trust Jeff Bezos? Absolutely not. Are you crazy? Yeah. The sites that we use, the different providers we use, because obviously there's a lot involved with running a site of that site, or they use. I'm not a part of the team anymore. As far as I know, most of them, like Cloudflare, which is very obvious that it's used by them, has been very. It's no doubt that they're part of the liberal elite in Silicon Valley. That's who they are. They're from there. They're a part of that culture, but they have, time after time, done a pretty good job of defending free speech.
Okay, so you don't think the Donald's at threat right now?
Not from any of the ones that I'm aware of. Epic, right on, absolutely right on. Not. Epic's a great company and will go right into the fire with all the people on the Donald. And anybody who thought, who read that Wall Street Journal article and immediately thought he was throwing you under the bus, Robert's a good guy. Rob, the CEO, is a good guy. Rob and Rob, they're great guys. They literally said prayers when I talked to them. They prayed. They said we were important. They really believe that. They're not going to – they will never go down without fighting alongside with us. If it is brought down, the people to look at are the company that owns the .win top-level domain, or ICANN. Yeah. And honestly,
There's some more questions that pertain to that. So we'll get to that back in a little bit. Ben from the election year knockout game says, why the reluctance to impose IP bans on repeat rule breakers?
IP bans were used.
They were. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. But an IP address when you're dealing with somebody using a VPN is completely useless.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
The
constant rule breakers probably always use VPNs because they know the deal.
And people might think that those are all left-wing folks. And this is something I spoke with Ian at the Wall Street Journal about. He said, who are these people that you're having to block to prevent these things from being posted? And he went through a list of people. I said, you know, it's all of the above. It's people associated with foreign governments and which foreign governments? He asked. I said, name one.
Yeah,
and
all of them.
Yes, the answer is
any
yes.
One of them at any given time. Who knows?
Absolutely, and for different reasons. Some to try to affect the election. Some because they don't like the speech that gets on our site, and they don't want their own citizens to see it. There's lots of reasons. There are liberal groups. Period. I mean, there's groups like Sleeping Giants, the people that came out of or Media Matters, and the people that came out of that. Oh, that other group that ran, they reformed after 2016. I don't know what they're called now, but those guys, they go out there. In fact, there was a post not long ago on Reddit that flat out said right before January 6th, or I think it was January 6th and January 7th, they posted, they were, they said, I went over there and tried to get these people to go to the Capitol and do things. They said, I wanted these people.
You
to do
personally.
Things. I didn't say this. This is what
they're saying it about you, you personally wanted people to go do something.
No. What I'm saying is they went and posted on our site and they admitted on Reddit they were posting to incite
bad actors.
They were saying they were intentionally trying to get people to commit violence, to raid the Capitol, et cetera.
Well, it just feels like the people, the Democrats will just take the side of the story that fits their narrative, just run with it without giving the full context.
It's not always just them either. There are plenty of people that that are more typically associated with the right that get bent out of shape when they get to a point where whatever form they're talking on, whether it's the Donald, whether it's conservatives on Reddit or something like that, where they feel like you're not going far enough and they keep pushing their message and pushing their message to the point where they get banned. And to them, quite often, you're a traitor. If you get to that point where you have to ban them, you're a plant, you're controlled opposition. You know, in fact, I've watched your chat this whole time, and some people have flat out said the Donald is a honeypot. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. It's run by a whole bunch of people who are all volunteers. I've met quite a few of them in person. They're all very good individuals. Even the ones I don't agree with, they're all hardcore pro-Trump, pro-America folks that don't deserve some of the hate they get. That's for sure.
All right, next, Alpha Zero Omega says, my girl arrived home during the 100th show after being stuck in Dubai for almost a year. We went out to catch up and watched the rest once we got home. I heard you call my name, but wasn't there at the time. Are we still good? Alpha Zero Omega, you actually won one of the TimCast boards that I was given away. This one right here, I'm going to be sending this out to you. You should have gotten an email. If you haven't, you probably get one in the next day or two to give me your address. Don't worry, I won't dox you. I'm just going to send you this here wonderful Harumph board that you can't get anymore. All right, Hydra says, notice how they don't play the I have a dream speech anymore. Yes, it is Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, I just want to say real quick, he honored non-violence. All these, I see all these leftist people right now talking about it, and then I watched them all year burn stuff down, and now are quoting him and talking about him. It is so frustrating to see that, the hypocrisy, because they don't even know the man. They think they do. They think they can use him, and yet they are the ones that were burning down this country. Ridiculous. Moonman said, friends, if things don't go the way of good, we must do something big. Also, on January 30th, people should put flags upside down and half staff. I don't know exactly what you're trying to do, but I did just say nonviolence. You get violent, your message is gone, period.
You know, speaking about that and the Donald, when people posted things like that, hey, and we did have people inside of the moderation team and some longtime users that believed we had a responsibility to try to kind of help with that route. Not to the point of saying you need to get violent, let me be clear. But I reminded them, and I wasn't alone, there were several of us who said, look, when the time comes, if your government is so bad that it's time to go out there and do something drastic, you're not going to have to make a post about it, guys. You know,
that's a good point. What is posting on the internet? Really? That just means you don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, the backlash of 1929 and the stock market crash wasn't because 48 or 51 or 54% of the country was pissed off at Republican policies. It was because 80 to 90% of the country was pissed off with the policies of the politicians in power. And they did dress. They didn't, you know, obviously they didn't have to go out there and start, you know, any kind of violence or even, you know, mass riots or anything like that. But they did. They voted Democrats across the board all over the country in many places where they had never been elected before. And it changed the face of American politics. And to people who don't think that can happen again, I think you're wrong. And I think we're headed there a lot sooner than you think. I think that's the future. That's the revolution that some of you want, and it's not going to come with gunfire. It's going to come when things get so bad that 70-80% of the country says, I don't care who's in power. I don't care what parties they're with. They've got to go.
Yep. All right, we got to keep moving here. Mark G says, well, this has been fun, but I guess even evil has to triumph once in a while. Unlike politics, Krigler Coffee won't let you down. Buy some today. He's got a point. You can check out KriglerCoffee.com for some delicious roasted beans. Check them out. Chuck Morris says, love your coffee. Helps me poop. Thank you, Chuck. I'm glad you enjoy it. The doctor 2K20 says, amazing guest. I'm glad to hear from him finally. My biggest question is, why haven't you accepted donations? We want to give you money. Does the Donald.win not accept donations, or how does that work? Is it? I'm assuming that's what they're asking about.
No, obviously hundreds, if not thousands of people have asked that same thing. And again, I'm not a part of it anymore, but the funding came from myself for the domains and the various other domains that we use with communities.win when we brought other communities to be a part of it. And then there was three, maybe four other mods, and along with myself, who pitched in for hosting. And, you know, back in the site was very, very efficient for a very long time. Back in the summer, I think our highest bills were, you know, $200 to $300 for a month's worth of bills. Okay. Now, that changed as the election neared, and now I believe, you know, the last bills I saw were closer to $1,000 a month. I know that there were talks about doing some things geared towards trying to fund the site in a more permanent way. I'm not a part of that anymore. I will continue paying for the domain, though, and it'll be there for as long as they want it.
There is a super chat. I guess I want to find it real quick because here we go. Thunder Cleese says, ask Jody why he refuses to transfer ownership of .win domain now that he's accused the mod team of being racist and rage quit. I know it's a harsh question, but it's pertinent to what you just said. Care to respond?
You know, Thunder's a moderator on the Donald, and
okay,
in general, I would say he's usually a pretty good guy. I understand why some of these folks would be upset with me. I would expect them all to do the exact same thing if they thought their family might become targets. Okay. You know, my family had been a target from internal people before. You know, I banned two of our users from Discord, and my phone rang 24 hours a day for 3 months with death threats, with you name it. You know, they spread my name, my number all over the internet. They put in Democrat or left-leaning chat groups. And you know, I wasn't going to go through that again without having my say. So that's why I left. And would I say there's some people there that I don't think speak for the whole team? Absolutely.
Okay. And
I think that's a
so,
sad
so that's, fact. That's
so why won't I transfer it?
That's defending yourself against the second half of that question. But now the first half, you aren't a part of the team anymore.
Correct.
Why are you even paying? Why would you continue paying when you could just relinquish it and, you know, sever the ties? You know,
correct.
Is it like, what's the reason?
So there's one person I have offered it to, and he wants nothing to do with it, really. He's a business guy. He's very busy, and he doesn't want any of the potential liability that comes along with it. So he's the only
person. Why would you want that, though? You're trying to, you know, distance yourself because, you know, you want to protect your family. Why maintain that?
I've got nothing to hide, personally. I've got a pretty clean past for the most part. You know, I've seen some of these people put in chat, why was Jody arrested in 2007, and trying to spread that. That was started, by the way, during that period of death threats. You know, and they don't mention that it was for a check that was written by somebody else while I was in the Army and that it was dismissed. But that's okay. It's okay. I understand. But why don't I relinquish it? You know, I've put a lot into it myself. You know, that's definitely a part of it. I've put a ton into it. Two, like I said, the person I trust with it is no longer, is not willing to take it. And I worry that anybody I transferred it to, if I handed it to Thunder, for instance, okay, as much as I think he's a good guy, and I really do, I don't care what he said with, about me in chat, he has the right to be a little sore right now. That's okay. He would probably transfer it to the specific person I don't want it to be in the hands of. The same person who's basically in charge of moderation on the site, who's been in charge for the better part of, gosh, I guess over 3 years now, who disappears at times and doesn't relinquish his power, but he's the one, he's the same guy who told Epic to fuck off. Excuse my limit. I apologize.
Sorry about that. People listening.
He's the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was trying to quote him. I apologize though. He's the same guy who told, who refuses to work with very good providers that have bent over backwards to help the Donald. And because of that, absolutely not. I'm not going to transfer it to somebody who's just going to give it to them. And the only other person is not an American, and I don't think
so it doesn't feel like you want to let go of your baby, like you helped create this thing, you aren't a part of it anymore, but you don't want to let go of it. But I mean, that's just, it feels like it's just, there's this now cloud that you've it's almost like you can let go of it, because why does it matter? You know, if you're not a part of the team anymore, you can't control that mod that you say has too much power, you know, that is doing whatever he's going to do anyway. You know, what's going to happen if you relinquish control, or if you don't relinquish control? It's going to, it's the same, it's going to go in the same direction no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're doing yourself a favor by, you're doing a disservice, because you're just waste, I wouldn't say wasting money, because you feel like you're helping maintain by paying for it. But I mean, you know, it feels like you're doing yourself a little dirty right now by just, you know, spending your own money on something that you don't have control over anymore. Right. Am I wrong?
No, you're not entirely wrong. You're absolutely not. And if you ask my brother who, you know, as a lawyer, he'd tell you absolutely not, you know, you don't need the liability. And
right. Why would you want that? You know,
and I don't disagree. I don't have someone that I trust. If there was somebody I trust, like I said, there's one person who I'd hand it to. He knows who he is. And if he wants it, he just has to pick up the phone. He has my phone number. He's a friend of mine. Yeah. Pick up the phone, ask for it. It'll be his in 30 minutes or less. You know,
if you gave it up to Thunder, for example, and you know, you think that it would, they would just kill the whole channel, like kill the whole website, you know, if that a worry?
No, I don't really believe that. Although I don't believe that at all. No, I believe, like I said, I believe no matter who else I gave it to on that team would pass it to the person I absolutely don't want it to be in. So it's really that simple.
Okay. All right, let's keep moving. Sorry for the tough questions there.
No, I appreciate it. It's you know, it's a fact. It's not something I'm going to hide from. And you know, if I had a clean answer, that's why it is a tough question, because there is no clean answer to it. Because your points are absolutely valid, and I wouldn't say that all my points are, but my points are also backed by more history and knowledge that I'm not sharing.
Yeah, that's fine. No worries. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Dragon Hunt says, "Hey, Adam, you didn't understand my reference on Friday about the tennis court. When you have some time, look up the oath of the tennis court." Okay, I'll check it out. Eric says, "Something is bothering me. Want to see where the discussion goes. But when I last listened a long time ago, what is happening now was Q's plan. Hoping Adam will get this later just bothers me." Oh, man, I saw a bunch of people fighting in chat. I don't even want to get into that conversation. Sorry, Eric, but I guess we'll see, won't we? Self says, WTF, Redditor editing comments on Reddit. What kind of loser does that? Guess we don't need Reddit either. Yeah, but I hear what happened to Reddit is it just started going left and just never stopped going in that direction. So, I mean,
I didn't start going left, though. Let's be clear. The guy, I mean, not that Schwartz was a right winger. He wasn't. But, you know, the guys who founded it, excluding Spez, had some pretty altruistic goals to allow people to create their own forums and dictate the content.
Yeah.
And they really were, that's what they were pushing. It's unfortunate that Schwartz passed away, because that voice of reason, of what I would call patriotism, actual patriotism, wanting to defend the First Amendment, is no longer there.
Right. All right. Let's see. Snark Victory says, "Heya, did your site offer grounds for cold brew? We are working on that. Currently, not yet. But I'm not sure exactly what makes a good cold brew coffee. I've never been into cold brews myself. I know it's a whole different process. So I'm looking into it, because, I mean, you actually might have asked me before, but some other people have come up to me and asked me. So we are working on that." Greg says, "Can you ask him about other communities, or is it just the Donald and Gavin McGinnis?"
Just the Donald and Gavin McGinnis.
Well, you actually you referenced a couple other communities. I think but you even said, you're like, "I don't want to say them" after that. So it might have come as we were having the conversation, but then you actually added, "I don't want to like start dropping these other communities."
Well,
so
I'll put a plug in for them, for the site in general, which is communities.win. And their overarching goal is to basically recreate Reddit in the original vein, with the First Amendment and the ability for people to freely speak and to share their thoughts without without fear of reprisal or being banned or censored. Communities.win, it's still there. I imagine it's going to keep growing. They invite, they've got an open invite to any community out there that is looking for a new home. And I imagine that invite is going to be there for a long time.
Okay. SH says, "Biden is our president. Get over it." Actually, he's not currently our president. President Trump is still the president. Sorry, SH. Mr. Obvious says, "They want us dead. They really do. The media and big tech promote it. Only right wingers are punished. They are tyrants." This is Mr. Obvious. Your name is very perfect. I'll just say that. Thunder said, "Jody sold out the rest of the .win team so he could lie about us and our community to the fake news media. Don't trust anything he has to say." What do you have to say about that, Jody? Obviously, Thunder, you talked about him earlier, but he's clearly pretty upset about you.
Like I said, I got nothing bad to say about the guy. I don't blame them for being upset. I mean, obviously, I didn't sell out anything, considering I'm not making a cent for it. In fact, all I'm doing is taking some slings and arrows that I was taking even before. Although, had I not spoken with them, I'd have taken those slings and arrows without getting my 2 cents in. So it was an easy choice. Do I let these guys run a story about me being the owner of a site that provides a conduit for white supremacists, which is how they put it, not me.
Right.
And terrorists, which is again how they put it, not me, and or speak up and say, that's not the truth. Like I said, it's a 2-hour interview, and most of the time was spent defending the site and defending the honest hard work that everybody put in to keep it online.
And of course, it's the mainstream media, so they're not going to put that on there. So
yeah.
Well, hopefully, you guys can at least work out some sort of base. Obviously, it's a little tense right now between everybody. Gary says, "Thank you, Adam, for having Jody on. Jody, the Donald helps us keep a sense of humor when it feels like the world is on crazy pills. Come what may, the next couple days, the Donald will remain indispensable for news and the best dank memes. Trump won by a lot." Thank you for that super chat, by the way, Gary. That was a hefty super chat. Skylar says, "You guys should check out the video by Ryan Long comparing woke versus racist and how strikingly similar they are." Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty good. Ryan Long's hilarious. He's actually been a guest on the show before, and he did a hilarious YouTube video about how there was this super woke person who's friends with a super racist, and they're just discussing all these similarities that they or things that they like, and they're discovering they're best friends, and they're all alike. It's pretty funny. White Lasagna said, "These people thinking white supremacy is a fact, but feel bad about it. That's why they think they have to tear white people down to achieve equality." Yeah, right. It's like, it's not a fact. It's something that they're trying to convince everybody that is a fact, because they want to, I don't know, use race as their everything instead of true character and hard work, and, you know, which literally anyone can achieve. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. It's ridiculous.
You know, can I address something real quick?
Absolutely. What's up?
I see the Thunder chats going back and forth and say people saying betrayal. You know what? You want the domain? You can have it the moment the guy in charge of the code, who's not an American citizen, who refuses to give it to the actual team, the moment he gives it, y'all can have the domain.
All right, Thunder, you heard it. I hope you're still here, Thunder. You know, I would like you guys to at least come to some sort of arrangement. That would be great. Thank you for that. I know you mentioned him earlier, this guy who's, you know, not here in the States. Correct. So, you know, that's, you know, if you guys could work it out, I'm sure you guys can get a hold of each other. You could, you know, obviously been working together for a while.
Yep.
So right on, right on. Respectful. Mr. Paul R. says they may be allowing Parler to come back, but no new subscribers, but because app not allowed in Google Play Store. And then some angry expletive faces and spin the UFO. I will spin it. You guys can't see it. What, maybe if I hold on, let me see if I can you guys see it if I take the camera? Oh, you can see it a little bit. All right. There we go. Spinning the UFO. All right, bring Joni back. Okay, cool. Sorry, I had to spin the UFO. You understand, right? All right, let's see. You know, it's funny. I still have the Parler app on my phone. I wonder when that'll come back into working, if it ever will. Different Gnome says, government does not give rights. They just agreed to not mess with them. The Great American Contract. Yeah, that's what I was saying before. You know, we have rights, and the Constitution isn't telling everyone what our rights are. It's telling everybody that we have these rights, and you can't mess with them.
That's why an acknowledgement.
It's an acknowledgement of our rights, exactly. White Lasagna says, by these people, I mean wokesters. Nice wokesters, I like that. Dragon Hunt says, Bo Gibbon, nice. Hydro says, calling people racist, white supremacist, misogynist, or any other names that the left use is a communist tactic of the 1950s. Yep, Yuri was right.
Yep.
Let's see. Teja says, New Brunsfels, local here. Good to see a local Texan in close to home. Right on. Chef de Jure says, I think Kami La has plans to take out Biden to get him out of the way. Most likely will be pinned on Trump supporters. It would not shock me. I don't think so. Where are you getting that information? I highly doubt that.
Can I share with you my crazy theory on Biden?
Oh, goodness. Sure. Tell me.
It's a little bit out there. Kamala Biden. Kamala's real young, right?
I just want to acknowledge this is a conspiracy theory.
Yep.
Far out there. I'm just reiterating what you just said, so go ahead.
Without a doubt, it is. The 25th Amendment does not remove a president. People are mistaken when they believe it does. It designates their power to the vice president. So technically, if let's say the Democrats do shape elections and push things a certain way and they use the 25th Amendment, Kamala Harris could act as president for a total of 18 years because she can do it under Biden twice with the use of the 25th Amendment. Then they can remove him after 2 years, and then she can finish his 2 years and then still run two more times herself. That's way out there. Don't doubt me. Right.
I have heard that before.
But it's a possibility. And if you can imagine, think to yourselves, what did FDR do with about 16 years?
What?
Completely changed America. Social Security, TVA, all these public work projects. True. He made America more or less communist to try to recover from the Great Depression, and it never worked. The war did, but his awful programs have done nothing but put us in debt.
Yep. SH says Trump will get sued by New York State. All right. Utreon says, Adam, can we mirror your channel on Utreon? It's a new YouTube alternative we can mirror automatically. I haven't heard of Utreon, but I'll check it out. Right on. Chef de Jure says Pelosi acts like she's tried to bed Trump and he rejected her. She's obsessed with him. You've noticed that, right? It's pretty crazy. SH says, don't raid the Capitol if you don't want to get banned. Yeah, okay. I think the people who raided the Capitol were not very smart people to do it in the first place. It didn't accomplish anything. people, someone got killed. I don't agree with any of that. I don't know where what your point is, but thanks for your money. Gabe says, I love you, Mr. Obvious, and Adam too. Thank you, Gabe. I appreciate that. IWD says, they keep abusing the words racist and fascist, not realizing they're so far to the left, they're going to make being both an act of counterculture. Oh, man, it's ridiculous, but
You actually speak to a reporter and you listen to them, and you're right. They sling those words around.
Yeah, they do.
The same way you and I would take a breath of air.
That's true.
And you stop. For instance, and part of the article that made it in, actually, I was shocked that it made it in. I told him, I said, you know, have you thought about the media's responsibility in pushing some of this stuff, especially after the election? You know, they were mostly the election turned on a small group of very urban centers with higher than most other places African-American populations.
Yeah.
But the media very, you know, willingly, happily made sure that every time they talked about these counting rooms and Trump fighting it and such, nothing but African-Americans are counting. You know, people talk about how the media manipulates people on the left. They do the same thing to the right, and they get away with it most of the time. People fall for it, and it's very unfortunate. You need to, as much as you distrust them and think it's awful how they betray and lie to the left, they betray and lie to you, and you fall for it quite often as well. And you need to be cognizant of that.
TDT says MAGA has become the counterculture. Also, thank you, Adam. Oh, thank you, TD. And B. Morrell says, conspiracy theory, the push to label conservatives as terrorists will be used to push more heavy-handed Patriot Act-level legislation. People will want government to monitor all domestic communication. Yeah, exactly. Yep. This is scary. All right, Jody, listen, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much
for having me.
It's really crazy to hear what happens, and I hope that you guys all work it out, you and the team. Mm-hmm. That obviously is still a part of something that you love and you helped create, so
very
I
much
hope,
so.
You know, so I wish the best for you and your family, and thank you for joining.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Adam.
Yeah, my pleasure. And everyone, thank you for watching the show. I will be back tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. here on Adamcast IRL. You guys have a wonderful night.
Please smash the like button for Adamcast IRL. Coming to you live every night, Monday through Fridays, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time.